What would you do with $500 in cash?
And where am I going to get my hands on that kind of money?
The wildly popular KABC $500 high-low game is back. Listen for the cue to call at 6, 9, noon, and 3 for your shot at $500 in cash.
KABC.
Los Angeles.
Orange County.
A Cumulus station.
KABC News is live and local at 10 o'clock. I'm Jeff Whittle. There may be a major diplomatic breakthrough in the standoff with North Korea over its recent missile and nuclear tests.
Mr. Trump tweeting out, possible progress being made in talks with North Korea. For the first time in many years, a serious effort is being made by all parties concerned. The world is watching and waiting. Maybe a false hope, but the U.S. is ready to go hard in either direction. His written comment comes just after Kim Jong-un hosted some South Korean diplomats in Pyongyang, reportedly expressing a willingness to consider giving up nuclear programs. President Trump has said repeatedly any progress with North Korea would have to include denuclearization. Bob Costantini, Washington.
A 60-year-old hiker who was injured when he fell into a steep ravine in Griffith Park as long as 2 days ago was airlifted to safety by an L.A. City Fire Department helicopter crew about a half hour ago. That man was then flown to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Beverly Hills for treatment of unspecified injuries. Long Beach is losing one of its hospitals due to seismic concerns.
The Community Medical Center of Long Beach has been scared out of business by the possibility of an earthquake. After it was found that the campus was right on top of an active fault and it was determined that the facility could not be made compliant by the June 30th, 2019 deadline, employees went elsewhere and the center used its 120-day lease termination notice to the city of Long Beach, which owns the land. CEO John Bishop lamented, "We exhausted all options." I'm John Wolfe, KABC News.
An Oregon man suing two major retailers claiming they discriminated against him when they refused to sell him a rifle because he's only 20 years old.
Dick's and Walmart restricted gun sales to adults 21 and older in the wake of the February 14th Florida high school massacre. The 19-year-old accused in the school slaying bought the AR-15 used in the attack legally. Oregon law allows residents to buy shotguns or rifles starting at age 18. The Oregonian reports Tyler Watson's lawsuit filed Monday claims he faced age discrimination from Dick's and Walmart. The lawsuit's believed to be the first of its kind filed over the new gun policies. I'm Rob Marinko, KABC News.
And the news is brought to you by Heal.com. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Lakers lost to the Trailblazers 108-103. That snapped L.A.'s five-game winning streak. Damian Lillard scored 19 of his 39 points in the fourth quarter to help Portland overcome a 11-point deficit with just 5.5 minutes to play. Clippers will host the Pelicans at 7:30 tonight. Ducks host the Capitals at 7 p.m. L.A. Kings will then host the Capitals on Thursday. Exhibition baseball, Dodgers blasted the Indians 8-1. Angels nipped the Reds 7-6. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. KABC News Time, 10:03, with dependable traffic when you need it the most. And we do have a SIG alert in the... It's in the Sepulveda Pass, near the top of the pass, North 405 up Mulholland, crash block in the carpool lane with brake lights back from Sunset Boulevard northbound, southbound slow go, Sherman Way down towards Getty Center, and then things open up. Also, on the eastbound side of the 101 at White Oak and Tarzana, stalled truck blocking the White Oak off-ramp. Some slowing from about Reseda Boulevard, and it'll stay slow pretty much all the way over to the 134 split. In Santa Clarita, southbound 14 at Placerita Canyon, crash blocking the carpool lane with slowing from Via Princesa because of that. Also, City of Industry, Caltrans work on the westbound 60. They have the connector ramps to the north and southbound 605 closed for some maintenance. Traffic very slow back from about Azusa Avenue because of that. Finally, Long Beach, northbound 405 at Wilmington Avenue, heading into Carson. Stalled truck just cleared from lanes, but it's slow go. Off and on all the way back from the East 22 interchange on that northbound 405. More brake lights ahead, 110 to Hawthorne, and again from the 105 up to about Olympic Boulevard. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC, dependable traffic. KABC SoCal weather, sunny today, highs mid-70s to around 80 expected. It's 66 at LAX, 67 in Santa Ana, 66 in Woodland Hills. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790, KABC News. There's no better time to plan your Las Vegas escape, especially now with rooms starting at just $39 a night at MGM Resorts, where you can enjoy the best live shows and award-winning restaurants. Book today at MGMResorts.com. KABC News, sponsored by MGM Resorts.
Places, everyone.
Five, four, music.
And action!
It's Peter Tilden.
At 10!
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 begins right this very moment. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. Will, of course, beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. I got some great tickets for you today. Morris Day and the Time at the Saban Theater. Also, a great concert, a charity concert. Rick Springfield, Terry Nunn from Berlin, Venice, student musicians. I'll tell you next hour when you can win those. We're going to talk next hour also about local politics and the fact the story was uncovered a year or so ago about a potential payoff to politicians that was illegal for the ability for a developer to build a project. And that leads to many, many questions about what's going to happen with that project now. Will it be rezoned? Do the politicians have to give their money back? And are other politicians in the city also influenced by builders, and to what extent? So we'll get to that. The big story I wanted to open with, however, and I guess you saw, is North Korea is willing to talk to the U.S. about giving up nuclear weapons. It's pretty amazing, diplomatically, that we are at this place where South Korea is going to go to North Korea in April. Actually, they're going to meet below the demilitarized zone in South Korea. Kim Jong-un is supposedly going to meet with the president of South Korea and discuss the potential for denuking. And I wanted to get some context in that. Sheila Smith joins us now, senior fellow for Japan Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, author of Intimate Rivals, Japanese Domestic Politics and a Rising China and Japan's New Politics in the U.S.-Japan Alliance. So good morning, Sheila. I see this and I wonder what's real here and what is the agenda here? What are the conditions in which North Korea will meet, etc.? Where are we with this?
So that's lovely to be back with you. This is an ongoing story. As you know, we've been talking about this now for over a year.
Sure.
I think actually we're in a good, I think this is a, we should embrace this. I think it's a good opening for South Korean President Moon Jae-in to test the sincerity and the intention of Kim Jong-un. Clearly the Olympic diplomacy, which we all watched on TV as Kim Jong-un's younger sister and a very senior member of his regime traveled south to partake in those Olympics. There was the obvious attempt at soothing popular understanding of the two Koreas by presenting both teams with the singular flag. So I think this is a real moment where South Korean diplomacy has some opportunity to calm tensions on the peninsula.
And what's the next connection?
So we should be skeptical. The North Koreans have not behaved in the last couple of years in a way that should make us feel that they are ready to sit down and give away their nuclear weapons, right? But what I heard in this morning's announcement and what has been leading up to it is there may be some ability to walk back to where we were before, and this is under the Bush administration. This is a decade or so before, when North Korea says, we want a more secure and peaceful environment, i.e. we want South Korea and the United States not to be exercising so much. We want the threat of the U.S. to diminish in our neighborhood. We will exchange that for a peace treaty, we will exchange our nuclear weapons for those security assurances and a peace treaty with the United States. So this is not a new offer that's on the table or a new way of thinking of the problems. Is very much consistent with what was happening in the six-party talks. But I think there's opportunity there, and I think we just need to take it slowly. We need to watch how Moon Jae-in reassures Kim Jong-un. The fact that Kim Jong-un would come south below the DMZ to me is really quite striking, right? He has not been willing to leave his country since he became the leader of the DPRK, North Korea. He has not met with Xi Jinping, right, China. China's leader, which his father met with regularly traveled to Beijing, right? He has not done that. When Putin tried to get him to go to Moscow in 2015 for the Russians' big end of World War II commemoration, he was tempted. It seemed like he might go, but he didn't. He sent an emissary instead. So Kim Jong-un has not left the country since he became the leader of the North. Suggests to me that he's feeling pretty secure. It'll be interesting to see between now and April whether he continues to, he continues to be willing to do that. It'll be an immense security task, and could go wrong in all different kinds of ways.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I didn't even think of that because it's so far off, the end of April, but you're right. Pulling that off without incident is huge. Also many things could happen between now and then. And these are all conditional statements. Strategically, what does he want? Does he want a reunification of the peninsula? And if they do reunify, does he want to be the king? I mean, what does that look like to him? What does that look like to the South?
So I think there's a lot we don't know about what's going on in Kim Jong-un's head. So I think he can't be all that confident. But here's some ideas. Some of the North Korea experts in Washington and, in fact, inside the Trump administration have begun to speak as if they are convinced that they think Kim Jong-un wants to unify now, that that's his ambition.
Right.
Unify the peninsula under his leadership. I cannot imagine, given that state, how it operates, how it's conceived of itself, how he has, operated, that that's really a realistic aim. In other words, that they're actually planning to do that, right? That they have a plan and they have capabilities and they have resources. I don't think that's where they are. Nonetheless, that he wants to undermine and weaken somewhat the leadership in Seoul may not be a bad guess, right? Moon Jae-in's in a pretty, he himself is the one taking a considerable amount of political risk here. South Korea is a democracy. He's a progressive liberal in the right-left spectrum in South Korea. There are a lot of conservatives in South Korea who are watching him very carefully on this. So this is a pretty divisive political issue for any South Korean leader. Right? And yet, you saw that in the Olympics, there's great aspiration for some way of ending the tension between North and South. I think younger South Koreans, though, have grown up living with it. They are not like their grandparents or their parents, even. They are less enamored with what Kim Dae-jun at one point called sunshine diplomacy. They have some somewhat more skeptical about the North and what the North might bring to their country, even just in terms of normalized diplomacy. So I think there's a difficult road here for Moon Jae-in to walk, given his own domestic politics. The second is, Moon has to manage the relationship with the United States. President Trump and President Moon don't have the close relationship, for example, that Trump and Abe, Japan's prime minister, that they have. It'll be very difficult to manage this. Now, the U.S. government has clearly signed on to some of this, or right. It wouldn't be happening.
Right.
And again, there's a lot of time between now and April, but what we're doing is we're watching the Paralympics for a little bit more in South Korea. When that wraps up, you've got now this window till April, which means that Kim Jong-un is probably not going to test. Right. If he has,
I would think not. It would undermine what he's putting out there.
So, in that sense, if you look at it from our perspective, that's a good thing, right? It stops him from re-upping the tensions, right? Now we have a large U.S. South Korea exercise that we typically do, military exercise that we do. There is some concern here that Moon will be wanting to have no exercises between now and April, which would be significant for us to say yes, to say okay to that. We postponed those exercises through the Olympics with the idea that we would create an opening for this diplomacy. We may very well postpone exercises until after the summit, but there will be some choices and trade-offs here, it'll be pretty brittle between now and April to make sure that this continues to move forward.
Sheila, before we go, who is our lead negotiator? Who is the diplomat from the United States that has the closest ties or the best understanding at how to unravel this and how to best affect it?
So that's a great question. right? We were about to have Victor Cha as ambassador to South Korea. Victor Cha is a colleague of mine, I will say that too. And I deeply respect him as well as being a friend. But he was ready to, he was nominated. The South Korean government had said, okay, he was going to go to Seoul. He would have been a great interlocutor between the United States and South Korea. He has, his nomination has been withdrawn. So it's not so clear who the Trump administration sees as their primary negotiator. But we do have great leadership in the military in South Korea. General Brooks is there leading U.S. Forces Korea. He is the U.N. commander on the scene. We've got really tight relations in our between our diplomats and South Korea's diplomats. So I'm not so worried about the communication. I think what's going to be tricky is what is Kim Jong-un going to ask Moon Jae-in to
right.
do to make this possible?
Right.
And
what's the condition?
What is going to be a right? What are these conditions, and is there going to be a barrier too high? Again, I talked about exercises as one delicate point right there. There's sanctioning, right? There's a lot of economic sanctions that the United Nations has approved that China is implementing, as well as us, the Japanese and South Koreans, right? Will they ask for reducing some of the pressures on the sanctions? The U.S. is not going to want to go along with that. Neither are the Japanese, by the way.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that Kim Jong-un may want to ask for between now and April that not the South Koreans may be a little bit more positive towards, but the Japanese and the United States may not be. So there's a little tricky trilateralism, you know, trilateral diplomacy to navigate here as well.
Well, I thank you for coming on. This is fascinating. It's amazing that we've gotten to this point, at least, that there's some daylight and moving forward after all the aggression that we saw in the past. And like you said, the big note is going to be between now and April, what conditions Kim is going to try
right.
And institute. And I'm sure we'll have you back on between now in April, for sure. Sheila Smith, Senior Fellow for Japan Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. There's a CFR's blog that analyzes developments in Asia. It's blogs.cfr.org/Asia, or Sheila Smith's CFR is her Twitter, at Sheila Smith CFR. Sheila, thanks for coming on last minute to fill
Always
us in on
pleasure.
A huge, huge development. Thanks so much.
No, I think it's great. We should be happy. We should be happy.
We should be happy. Exactly. Last time I talked to you, we were practicing the under the desk drill. Exactly. Take it easy.
Exactly.
See you later. Remember the under the desk drill? What would that under the desk drill have done if a nuclear, it just melted a desk? You now have a desk in your head. I never understood. Even as a kid, I got that if that's the best protection, a desk, why don't I have one at home, to get under when it happens? All right. So that's the North Korea story is a big one. Another story that is out there in a big way and being reported in many different ways is this Sam Nunberg story. Peter, who's Sam Nunberg? All right. Former political advisor to the presidential campaigns of not only Donald Trump, but Mitt Romney. So while working for the 2008 presidential campaign, he was hired by the attorney Jay Sekulow, you know that name, to work with the American Center for Law and Justice to stop the construction of the mosque in New York, the Park 51 Mosque. It was there that he met Roger Stone. And he's described Roger Stone as his mentor and surrogate father, and now he just says it's his father. They're very, very, very close. So what happened was that the special counsel has now said, I want you to come in and talk in front of a grand jury. And yesterday we watched a meltdown of a man on television. He went on so many shows, so many cable shows, and said so many different things about the president. He apparently, the bullet points, and I'll play some clips, he hates the president because the president got rid of him and Roger Stone, and he felt that they are important to the campaign and they should still be there. That's number one. Number two, he did not want to go and testify in front of a grand jury because he did not want to throw his father, his surrogate father, Roger Stone, under a bus, okay? And he's made many, many comments. Here's some of the things he said because it is really fascinating. Here's one.
And for Sarah Huckabee to start criticizing me, I would say, and I know you may not like it the way I say it, she should shut her fat mouth.
All right, so there you go.
Look, I'm not going to weigh into somebody that doesn't work at the White House. I can tell you from our perspective, we are fully cooperating with the Office of the Special Counsel. We're going to continue to do so. And I'll reiterate once again, the reason we are so comfortable doing so is because there is absolutely no collusion within the Trump campaign in any foreign government.
All right, so what's fascinating about all of this? Because people are just saying he's a crazy guy. He was there in the campaign early on. Roger Stone's a surrogate dad. Why would he do what he did? And another part of this is, and I'd love to get your feedback, 800-222-5222. He went on CNN And he was on there, and the host asked, Aaron Burnett asked if he was drunk. And the pushback on the internet is huge, because they're saying, why would you exploit somebody who's an impaired guest? You know, should she have, during the commercial break, after she said, I smell alcohol, are you drunk? Because he's ranting like a madman at some certain point. Should she have called it quits and said, you know what, go home? We're coming back without him because I didn't want to take advantage. Is that exploiting a guest if they come on drunk willingly and they're talking? I mean, I can't believe the venom against CNN for interviewing him after she asked if he was drunk. In one of the interviews later in the day, and again, he gave interview. He was on CNN three times. He was on MSNBC. He talked to Reuters. He talked to the AP. If you have an idea what he was trying to do, is this a Roger? Remember, Roger Stone's his dad, surrogate dad. Is he doing Roger Stone circus, a spin? Is he out there sending messages to the president, sending messages to Mueller by saying, I will not appear? And by the way, for the record, if you say I'm not appearing in front of a special counsel and a grand jury, the next thing that usually happens if you're Peter Tilden is you're on the news getting let out with a coat over your head and cuffs behind your back, because they arrest you. You don't really have the choice if you're going to go. So one of the shows even had a legal expert on, saying, dude, if you want to be home for Thanksgiving, I would appear in front of the special counsel. So is it ethical to have a guy on that you know is impaired and keep grilling him? Or should she have cut him free and sent him home? I'd love to get your take on that. But there is something that I discern from all of this that I don't think people are talking about that's kind of fascinating, how it relates to the Mueller probe. And when you tie the fact that Roger Stone is a surrogate father to this guy, and this guy is freaking out, I think I may have a sense of why, and we'll talk about that. If you have a sense, 800-222-5222. Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most. Brought to you by MyGameRoom.com. We have a SIG alert in Cajon Junction as you head down from the high desert through the Cajon Pass. The eastbound side of Highway 138 is closed from Lone Pine Canyon Road over to Interstate 15 because of an overturned big rig. The southbound 15 connector ramp to the 138 also closed because of this, but we're not seeing any slowing on the South 15 itself. San Dimas, westbound 210 at San Dimas Avenue. We have an accident in the left-hand lane there with traffic backed up to Fruit Street. Caltrans Work and Industry on the westbound 60. The connector ramps to the north and southbound 605 closed for maintenance until about 2:30 this afternoon. Traffic is just jammed solid from Nogales Street on that westbound 60. Also, we have a SIG alert in the Sepulveda Pass, north 405 at Mulholland. Carpool lane blocked by a crash there. With brake lights back from Sunset Boulevard, southbound on the 405. That's slow go yet Sherman Way down towards Getty Center. And then things open up. And itching to play poker? Find fast relief at MyGameRoom.com with fun free poker at MyGameRoom.com. Win prizes, play poker at MyGameRoom.com. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC, dependable traffic.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790. KABC.
I'm not drunk. I'm just drinking. I'm not stoned. I'm just thinking.
I reached out to a Trump ally before you came on to say, what do you think about Sam? What would you say? And essentially this person told me, I just want to be direct because he's not the only one to say it.
Yeah.
You're drunk or off your meds. At least half a dozen other CNN reporters have received similar messages. What do you say to them? I mean, is this a hit job or is there something wrong?
No, I don't care what they say. I think it's fun. You know what? I really could care less what the Trump White House has to say about me. They have a president, as you know. What was your poll that you produced last week, Aaron? What is he at, 38%?
You're talking about his approval rating.
Yeah, his approval rating. So any of them to criticize me, I could tell you, if Roger and me were in there, Trump would be at 55%.
Roger Stone.
Yes, Roger Stone. So whatever they want to say, they could say whatever they want about me. I don't care. Once again, I would say they're doing a terrible job for him. And they've been doing a terrible job since he's been elected.
Are they trying to do some coordinated hit job on you by reaching out to reporters and saying those things about your state of mind today?
I don't know. This is the first time I've heard about this. They're more than they can do whatever they want.
So 800-222-5222, were they wrong in exploiting this impaired guest who she actually said in another segment that she thought she smelled alcohol on his breath? What do you do? What's the right thing to do if you're interviewing a guy who's all over the place and could be tanking himself and saying things that they're not glowing and could actually hurt him if you know he's impaired? Coming up, however, after the news, I will tell you my sense of why Nunberg was melting down. Remember, like again, he's tied to Roger Stone. He mentions Roger Stone all the time. Surrogate dad, mentor to him. I think I know what's going on. I don't know why he went on all the shows to do what he did. I think it's because he's spinning out of control. And he didn't want to talk to Mueller. And by the end of the day, of course, he realized you don't really have a choice to talk to Smith. It's not up to you when you get that subpoena. But there's one piece of information that if you dig around, you find, and it may connect this whole thing and may explain it. I'll tell you what that is when we come back. Get your take on why did this guy go on 11 shows yesterday and do that and trash the president and say, he said, there's nobody who hates Trump more than me. And he said many other things about the administration. We'll discuss that, and I'll give you my take, and hopefully get yours. 800-222-5222 right after this.
KABC News is live and local at 10:31. I'm Jeff Whittle. Fullerton police have taken a 14-year-old boy into custody for allegedly threatening to shoot up his junior high school yesterday.
Police Sergeant John Rada says students at Parks Junior High overheard the threats.
Numerous courageous students came forward and they provided information to school administrators. And the adage, if you see something, say something, paid off here.
Officers took the suspect into custody on campus and searched his Anaheim home, where Rada says they found a firearm and what he describes as a large amount of ammunition. Ken Jeffries, KABC News.
Now, House Speaker Paul Ryan said today he is urging President Trump to reconsider his plans to slap steep tariffs on imported steel and aluminum.
The proper approach is a more surgical approach so that we do not have unintended consequences. That's what we've been encouraging the administration. The person who's running point on us is the Ways and Means Chairman, Kevin Brady. He's been working on some solutions with the administration. Those talks are ongoing, and I'm encouraged that hopefully we can get to a good place.
But President Trump says he'll move forward with the tariffs despite criticism from his own party. Both houses of West Virginia state legislature voted unanimously to raise their teachers' pay by 5%. Following a nine-day walkout, Nashville Mayor Megan Berry has resigned after admitting that she had an extramarital affair with her lead bodyguard and also pled guilty to a felony theft charge.
Well, my time today as your mayor concludes. My unwavering love and sincere affection for this wonderful city and its great people will never come to an end.
The first-term mayor had been considered a rising star in the Democratic Party until now. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Lakers blew an 11-point lead with 5.5 minutes to play. They lost to Portland 108-103, and the Blazers have now beaten the Lakers 15 straight meetings. Clippers host New Orleans tonight. Ducks host Washington tonight. L.A. Kings host the Capitals on Thursday. Exhibition baseball, Dodgers clobbered Cleveland 8-1. Angels got by Cincinnati 7-6. That's sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1033.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901.
Jenny had a dream. A dream of joining the national bobsled team. She worked out relentlessly and knew that if she just refused to give up, one day her dream would come true and she'd stand triumphantly up on the podium. But when her kids reminded her that she was 52 and she lived in Texas, and maybe she started dreaming this dream a little late in life, she gave up on not giving up. But then she heard how GEICO could save her money on car insurance. So she switched and achieved that dream instead.
Do you or someone you know have Alzheimer's disease? Many people with Alzheimer's disease have trouble staying awake during the day and sleeping through the night. The pattern of unpredictable sleep can make it hard to do many daily activities. Local doctors are currently conducting a medical research study evaluating an investigational medication to understand if it may potentially help patients spend more of their time in bed asleep and more of their time out of bed awake. So if you or someone you know with Alzheimer's disease is having trouble staying asleep during the night and awake during the day, the medical staff at Santa Monica Clinical Trials would like to talk to you about participating in this study. Qualified participants will receive study-related treatment and evaluation. Reimbursement for transportation will be provided for both the qualified participant and their caregiver. For more information about the research study, please call us at 310-586-0843 or look us up at santamonicaclinicaltrials.com. 310-586-0843 or santamonicaclinicaltrials.com.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it the most, and we do have this ongoing SIG alert in the Cajon Pass, Cajon Junction area, eastbound on the 138. The highway is closed from Lone Pine Canyon Road over to the 15 because of an overturned big rig, and the southbound 15 ramps to Highway 138 east and west also closed because of that. City of Industry West 60 connector ramps to the north and south 605 are shut down for Caltrans work with heavy delays back from Nogales Street because of that. Also, SIG alert continues in the Sepulveda Pass, northbound 405 at Mulholland. Crash there, blocking the carpool lane with slowing now back just past Wilshire Boulevards, where you'll be tapping the brakes. And on the eastbound 210 at Latuna Canyon Road, we have an accident out of lanes in the center divider, but you're slow from Latuna Canyon Road itself. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC, dependable traffic. Here's your 790 KABC market check, and stocks up modestly here on Wall Street with the Dow positive by 35 points, S&P 500 in the green by about 6 points, and NASDAQ, it's up 32 points. KABC, SoCal weather, sunny today, highs mid-70s to around 80. It'll be mostly cloudy tomorrow, highs upper 60s near the coast, mid to upper 70s expected inland, and it is 71 in Van Nuys, 57 in Huntington Beach, 72 in Downey. And KABC weather, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. Come to B-Dubs now for two cheeseburger or two chicken tender sliders with fries for just $5. This is how we do happy hour and late night Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Get news at the top of the hour. Hour at the bottom and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790 KABC News. Is there an upcoming show you're dying to see? How about a sporting event you want to catch live? Drive with Uber and earn extra money to help you go from your driver's seat into a primetime seat in the arena. Sign up today at uber.com/drive now. Certain restrictions apply. See site for details. KABC News, sponsored by Uber.
Call now. Call me if you're interested.
What's your phone number?
800-ABC-KABC.
Ask for the phone number, not the phone letters.
That's 800-222-5222.
Thank you.
I want to hear directly from you. Do you think that they have something on the president?
I think they may.
What?
I think that he may have done something during the election, but I don't know that for
Why
sure.
Why do you think that?
I can't explain it unless you were in there.
Explain the atmosphere.
The way they asked questions about anything I heard after I was fired from the campaign to the general election to even November 1, it insinuated to me that he may have done something.
So that's Sam Nunberg, who used to work for the administration. I should mention, too, a very complicated relationship. Trump fired him and rehired him and fired him again and sued him for $10 million. They settled the lawsuit, which is about his breach of their nondisclosure agreement. And they're very dismissive of him, saying he wasn't a big part of anything. He was there early on. At one point in another interview, he said Trump was too smart to fall victim to Russian blackmail. However, later he said it's because he's an idiot. He also said there's nobody who hates him more than me. So again, he's tied to Roger Stone. And it's interesting. He said he's already spoken to Mueller's team and didn't want to spend another 80 hours digging through his communication with Trump aides that had been subpoenaed. He also said, maybe I can just send him my email password and they can get, into my emails and look at what they want. I don't think you have that choice. But this is the fascinating part. And maybe I'm wrong. 800-222-5222. He sounds like a crazy person. He's all over the place. But he's spinning and spinning and spinning. He already talked to Mueller, and Mueller wants to get him in front of a grand jury because he thinks he might have some information. What's fascinating, if he is tied to Stone, Roger Stone testified before Congress and said that he never, under oath, he said he had never written or had communication, direct communication with Julian Assange. And he always, whenever he did communicate with WikiLeaks, it was through a journalist, okay? However, I saved this and I dug it up. The Atlantic revealed that there was correspondence during the presidential election directly between Roger Stone and WikiLeaks, and that it happened around October 16th, 2016, the messages between the two, and they have them. They have the messages, a Twitter message directly between him and Julian Assange. So here you have Roger Stone, who swore under oath that he never talked directly to Julian Assange during the election, and the Atlantic has published communication that happened directly between Roger Stone and Julian Assange. So is this guy now spinning because he knows something about communication? He thinks he may be going down and that Roger may be going down, and that's why he's freaking. But why go out on television and have it all play out and watch this meltdown? Let the public watch this meltdown. Here's another thing that he said.
I'm not going to produce them every email I had with Steve Bannon and Roger Stone from November 1 of 2015. Why do I have to produce them all my communication?
Are you ready to go
it's
to jail?
It's ridiculous. I'm not going to go to jail.
How do you know you're not going to go
He's
to jail?
Not
you're held
do
in
anything.
Contempt of court.
He's not
you're very
do
publicly snubbing your nose at the special counsel and this investigation. I imagine if they don't do anything for you, they would allow anyone else to snub their nose at this investigation. All sorts of people who are being interviewed or potentially would go in front of the grand jury.
Katie, maybe people should start snubbing their nose at it because the way they're asking for communications that I had with Steve Bannon, with Roger Stone, to me is too much.
Well, I don't mean to be laughing. It doesn't matter if it's too. It's like you going into a court and saying to the judge, you know what, judge, it's noon, I'm hungry, it's enough already. You asked 50 questions is enough for me. I'm now going home. Thanks, but it's become an inconvenience. And the thing that usually happens when you turn to leave is you're now in jail. So I don't know where he's coming from, but I guess somebody talked to him during the day. Because by the end of the day, I'm going, I'm testifying, I'll be there. What time do you need me? I'm getting my suit pressed, I'm getting a haircut, I'm taking a breath mint, and I'll see you bright and early. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
790 KABC has dependable traffic when you need it most. We now have two trouble spots on that Foothill Freeway. Westbound 210 at Huntington Drive in Monrovia. Two-car pileup blocking the left-hand lane with slowing back from about the 605 interchange, and on the east side of the 210 at Latuna Canyon Road. Accident clearing in the center divider, but it's slow go approaching Latuna Canyon Road, leaving Sunland Boulevards where you'll be hitting the brakes. Our signal alert's finally been canceled. Sepulveda Pass northbound on the 405 right up Mulholland. All lanes have reopened after an accident, but you're still slow approaching Sunset Boulevard because of that. Caltrans Work and Industry, westbound 605 connector ramps to the north and southbound 605. They are closed for some Caltrans work and delays now stretching all the way back from Brea Canyon Road. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC. Dependable traffic.
And get smart.
In the Wind of Grand in Parsippany, New Jersey, they're offering a 5% discount for families to go on a digital detox.
You know, that 5% they're saving, they're going to have to spend that all on Advil from the screaming headaches they're going to get from the kids.
I'm bored, Dad, I'm bored. It's so boring.
Where's my iPad? I need it.
And Dad's going to go out to the rent-a-car and get the tire iron and smash open that lockbox.
McIntyre in the morning
with Leanne Queeden News. 5 to 10 on KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KBC, Peter Till the 10 continues. Mars Day and the Time at the Saban Theater. I got tickets. Also, the Greg Kurt Concert for the Arts. Featuring Rick Springfield, Terry Nunn from Berlin, Venice, and student musicians at Barnum Hall at Santa Monica High School this Saturday. Got tickets for that, too. I'll tell you when to call. The national mayor, this is an interesting story. I know you're hearing the headline that she resigned because it's a affair, but it's not just the extramarital affair with her former bodyguard, but it was also because of fraud and misconduct and theft of property. And what was the theft of property? Apparently, when you're paying taxes and you're taking your bodyguard on a trip to somewhere and you're spending an extra couple days because it's so idyllic and you're doing that a lot of times, you're spending taxpayer money. Also, when he's on those trips with you and he's getting $85,000 in overtime because you're having dinners and whining and dying and he's getting paid to be part of your detail, that's also not so good. The other thing that's amazing on this one is they found photos of her on the bodyguard's phone. I give a lot of people credit. Over 25, if you're taking nude photos of yourself, you are a brave, brave person. A nude photo of me would look like cottage cheese with a head on it. Who's sending a nude photo when you're in the 20s? I guess I may have done it. 30s, less. 40s, it begins to be, are you kidding me? Then in your 50s, you need two phones side by side to get the whole body. So I give her credit. Apparently she has a good body image. And like Dino says, no guy's turning down any photo, any nude photo. Doesn't matter. They're taking them. So they were in love. They're not together anymore. He lost his family. The wife left him when she found out and she lost her job. He'd been working in security detail for national mayors as far back as 1999. Now, they got to go back to 1999 and see if he was playing around with any of the former mayors. Anyway, she said, I made a mistake. We had an affair. It was wrong. We shouldn't have done it. It was part of my security detail. It was part of my responsibility. I should have gone to the police chief, and I should have said what was going on, and that was a mistake. She got caught up in the passion, and then, unfortunately, it led to misconduct of public officials and employees and theft of property. And more. So she's out of politics. I guess she'll consult to do something next. I don't know what he's going to do. And again, it's not our concern at this point. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter till the 10 continues. And I want to remind you, the beloved 790 KBC $500 high-low game is back, dropping big money 6, 9, noon, and 3 when some real cash. Plus, just for playing, you get a gift card for Bristol Farms, your Southern California local food store since 1982. The KABC $500 high-low game. Keep track of the guesses to have an even better chance to win. It literally pays to listen to 790 KABC. It also pays to listen next hour. We're going to be talking about something that's very important for you, and that is the LA City Council and the pay-for-play. This developer money that looks like straw men were used to launder illegal campaign contributions to the mayor and local council people to build and wave aside all of these zoning laws so they could build and realize a $25 million profit right away, was uncovered by Emily Oppert Reyes, City Hall reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Going to have her on and Jack Humphreyville, because there are a lot of questions that are raised about this. Is this the only development that looks like it was pay for play? What happens to all the money that was donated to politicians in a case like this? And then what happens to the zoning? Can they rezone it back to what it was before if it was illegally done and proven to be illegally done? And how many more developers are involved in this kind of game? I think it's really important as you look at the landscape of LA and you see decisions being made. I always ask the question, who is it good for? Is it good for us or is it good for the politicians? Are the bike lanes good for us or is it good for the politicians? The road diets and all of this development. I know that we need development. The city needs to grow. But when you start waiving restrictions and looking the other way and allowing developments to be built where maybe they shouldn't be, and it looks like it's through laundered illegal campaign contributions, then we have a lack of transparency and we need to peel back the onion and take a good look at what's happening and how these decisions are being made on our city that you're paying taxes for. So we will take your calls, 800-222-5222 with Emily Albert Reyes and Jack Humphreyville. Because I'd like to get to the bottom of this, and we will hopefully do that next, right after the news. Talk Radio 790 KBC.